Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it would always be, Lord, you said to us to be constantly nourished on the words of faith. Lord, every time we open scripture, I pray, Lord, that we would see it as life. And Lord, you would speak to us every time. So Lord, I pray you'd speak now as we just read this. In Jesus' name, amen. That's pretty cool about the gospel reading today, because one thing I wanted to talk about was angels. So, hey, right there, right? Confirmation in the gospel reading. And it's amazing how many times, so many different significant things happen. Angels were involved in it. We've been on a Tuesday night Bible study I do. We've been the guys really wanted to learn about spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. And these guys are part of a denomination that really don't practice the gifts of the Spirit. Or a lot of people within there believe that they're no longer for today. So it's interesting that they believe the word, they're wide open, they want to know. But my daughter was telling me yesterday, a friend, she follows on Facebook and or one of those things they do, Instagram or one of them. But he's a believer, and but he was arguing and denying the just the supernatural element of it, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I talk about a lot, because I believe that's one of the things the enemy has robbed from the church. Because once he robs the supernatural part of it, right, then what the Holy Spirit, the gifts and everything, there's just so many elements of the kingdom of God that you're just shutting the door to. And one of them is just angelic activity, because when Paul was writing to the Hebrews, he was talking about how Jesus was superior to the angels when he first started, and quote Psalm 104, which says, that he makes the winds his messengers and flaming fire his ministers. The winds there are angels. He makes the angels are God's messengers that interact with our lives still. And just because of the new covenant with Jesus fulfilling the law and, you know, God coming back to live within us, doesn't mean that angels aren't involved in our lives. So we're fixing to see them throughout the book of Acts, right? After Pentecost, there's this angelic activity. And one thing that that I've prayed that the Lord would increase in my life is that through the years, and most of the things I get from the Lord are always in picture form, which means any prophetic thing I get is always in picture form. So that's just kind of called a seer. If you ever hear that word seer, S-E-E-R is just that you see. When we'll say, hey, man, I see the Lord, or I see this, it's because of that's how God speaks. And so as a seer, and one of the things the Lord kind of started doing early in my life is I can see angelic things, and I can see demonic things. And sometimes they're hard to judge the difference between the two, right? Because Satan comes as an angel of light. It's not always easy. But that's just a cool aspect of it. And that's one thing I've just really prayed the Lord. Nothing special about me. I just really believe that. And throughout the last few months, I've had, which is really cool, the Lord does it to confirm to me, but I've had these angelic encounters, and I'll hear a name, and I'll see what they look like, and then I'll hear a name, and that name will describe what they're doing. Like one, I had a spear one time, right? And the name meant spear bearer, right? Then I saw one dressed in this, or, you know, like all this armor and stuff, and the name meant army man, you know, just different things like that, just to confirm that what I was seeing was true, right? That's just always encouraged me. This is I'm just going to read a few scriptures about angels here in the Psalms, a couple of them in the Psalms. For all of us. One is that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, right? Those who fear the Lord. So you have, and I have, angels that encamp around us, you know, that circle around us. They're there with us now. They're there when you go home. They're there when you sleep, right? That's what Scripture says. They're there, and they're there for a reason. I think the main reason of them encamping around us is to, as Psalm, this is in Psalm 91:11, it says, "For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." They're there to guard you. They're there to protect you from demonic activity. You see, in Revelation 12, I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but see Revelation 12, when Satan and all the, you know, a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, that Michael and the angels, other angels, assisted in that, right? They overpowered them or are too strong for them. We know that Jesus disarmed them. So they're there for warfare. So when I do battle or warfare with the enemy, I always pray for angels to come. Or when I'm praying for my girls, I pray angels to protect them, to go with them, to guard them in their ways, right? Just the way the Lord uses that. And I've seen many times in the spirit, like when I'm, if I know I'm doing battle or there's been a lot of warfare, when I'm praying and rebuking it in Jesus' name, I can see the thing there, the demonic thing, and sometimes I can see angels, I can see it in my spirit, angels coming and grabbing it and taking it out of there. You know, overpowering the thing. So that's always cool. But I'm just going to read you a few, some scripture in the book of Acts. Just angelic activity there. The first one you see is in Acts chapter 5. And after the apostles were doing this, some signs and wonders, they were imprisoned. They were put in jail. And it says, "The high priest rose up along with associates, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, laid hands on the apostles, put them in public jail. And during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, taking them out. He said to them, 'Go, stand, speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life.'" So I thought that was really cool. Let's see, 7:30. Next one. This is Philip, when the Ethiopian receives Christ. It says, "They solemnly testified, spoke the word of the Lord. They started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. And an angel of the Lord told Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends to Jerusalem to Gaza.' And he went up." So there's an angel, book of Acts, came to Philip and said, "Philip, go here. The Lord wants you to go there." Well, couldn't the Holy Spirit just have spoken to him in the spirit and said that? Of course he can. But he wanted to do it with angels. See? Angels there ministering, speaking. I'll see, 10:3. The next one, you see, is this guy named Cornelius, chapter 10 of Acts. Cornelius was a Jewish God-fearing man. And about the ninth hour, they were praying, and an angel, a vision, and he had this open vision, and an angel of God came to him and told him to go send for this guy named Peter, that Peter would tell him about Jesus. So, let's see, 12:7. All right, this in Acts chapter 12, Peter's put into prison. Herod puts Peter into prison. And it says, on the very night Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, guards in front, and the door had guards watching over him. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side, woke him up, and said, "Get up quickly." The chains fell off his hands. So again, the Lord could have done it anyway, decided and chose to do it that. I thought it was pretty cool. 12:23. And after Peter was released there, Herod kind of got upset because of what had happened, Peter being released. And this is probably not such a good one, but didn't go well for Herod. It said, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat and began to delivering an address. The people came out, the voice of a God and not a man. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God glory, you know. So God used that angel, but that wasn't a very, very good one. And then Acts chapter 27, and we'll just end with this one. It's when Paul was in the shipwreck. We know about his shipwreck. He had actually told these guys not to sail, and they didn't listen to him, you know, and Paul went with them, and they were in this big storm wreck, you know. They were out in sea, didn't see, you know, the light of day. It was a really bad storm. And Paul says this, for this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you and all who are sailing with you life, so they wouldn't be hurt, right? So the word Paul had got for them, and the word about going to Caesar, came from an angel. An angel appeared to him and spoke to him and told him. So that was just normal. This is just normal brown bag Christianity. That sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, and sometimes when the Lord has spoken to you, it has come through an angel, right? An angel speaking to you. Sometimes we don't see or recognize that, but you know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, it says he came out, angels were coming ministering to him. And, you know, scripture says they're flaming fires, they minister God's strength to us. So I just think that is just so cool within the kingdom of God, that there are just so many parts of it. And I want the Lord to expand my vision of that, you know, just the supernatural that around us are just, you know, angels and, you know, all kind of activity, heavenly activity, saints, these things that Ezekiel saw, you know, that are just right here with us. You know, when Jesus, when he told John to go and, you know, to write those things to the churches, he said, write it to the angels of the churches, right? The seven churches, write it to the angel of the church, meaning that there, I think, that over each church, there's an angel that stands over that, kind of a ruling angel. I believe this here at Christ the King, at Cross Point, at Blue Jean, all kind of different places like that. So if you've ever are interested in it, you know, just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you, because I really believe he's given us the ability to see into the kingdom. Ask him to expand your vision, right? Or to make you aware when of the angels that are around you, you know, and use them. You know, that's what they're there for. Actually, the word means watchers, that they're watching us and they're just waiting on us to give them assignment, you know, to, you know, rebuke the devil and the demonic spirits. Come angels, you know, cover us, protect us, watch over us at night. Several times during the night, when through the years, I can just sense angels being there. I've actually seen their outline before, you know. Not every time. I wish I could see that every time, but I've seen their outline, and know that they're there. Just sense them, you know. They're just really big, so they're there for you. They've been assigned to you. Call on them, use them. That's what they're there for. You know, call them to use them to, like, you know, Tad's out there and, you know, out west playing golf and fly fishing, right? We just send angels to guard and protect him, to cover him, right? To be there with him. And they love that. They're just waiting on us to call on them, right? Master. So anyway. Just a cool aspect of the kingdom of God that's there for us.